Faith and Freedom Show, David Allen Carmichael here. I'm talking to Mick, M-I-C-K, like the mouse or the Jagger. Mick had a horrific experience with this power struggle. He's one of the victims that got crushed in between the two stones, the power struggle between central national powers and the individual rights that ought to be protected by both the state of Florida and the United States. Tell me the significant point that you specifically called to make about your situation, then we'll fill in the audience about the details.
I'm hoping to go before the Supreme Court and challenge the barring of a civil right on a permanent basis, lifetime, with tying back to the Firearms Owners Protection Act of 1986, where the thresholds were reduced for qualifying for a criminal infraction to any person, and the disqualifying factors, once you've been found guilty of that federal firearms infraction, which is in fact a felony, as all of them are except for one, and a permanent lifetime bar for your right to self-defense. I believe the right to self-defense is not only a natural right, I believe it should be and probably is a civil right. And every convicted felon from Martha Stewart on down is barred for life, excluding presidential pardon forever from being able to defend themselves with a firearm.
And what we're going to do, we're going to find out how you got in that situation. But folks, what he's talking about, just let you know, Mick called on a show I was doing. I was stand-in for Tom Cryer on the Truth Attack Hour. And I was talking about gun situation, gun laws, gun battle between the United States and Montana. How's that? And Mick called, and he made mention of this thing. And we said, well, you know, if it's a felony, in the good old days, it was a capital crime. A felony was an absolute natural wrong, a crime against nature, really, a crime against your fellow man created in the image of God, and it was something that warranted a capital punishment. There was something called the pleading of the clergy, where you would be let off the hook. You wouldn't be put to death. So really, you were at the mercy of whoever it was that left you off the hook to let you walk the earth so that your natural rights to life were really at the mercy of the person who let you walk free. So there's a concept behind having the powers to basically take away certain rights for somebody who's walked the planet when they should be dead, theoretically. Now, that was kind of a hard stance. In this case, Mick's going to tell us about what his situation is, and you and I will probably go as reasonable people go, the guy's not a felon. He is not a felon. He was set up. This is purely administrative. This is literally a civil matter and not a criminal one, but something has been manufactured artificially that would make him come under, let's say, the coercion power of the United States enforcement laws, supposedly, to put him in a situation where he's either going to play ball or they're going to ruin his life. And I said to Mick that the reason that happened to him and he's received the injustice is because we, that's all of us, are wicked, and we have not been doing our job. We've manufactured this God that we worship that has become a beast that is making right people, righteous people, suffer wrongly. Now, that's my editorial. Okay. Now, Mick, is there anything else you want to say before we go back and step back and have you tell them your story?
Yes. First of all, this statute, yes, probably should be a misdemeanor, and unfortunately, the federal government, since Wickard v. Filburn back in the 30s, has expanded the long reach of the federal government's enforcement branches from the IRS to the DEA to the ATF to environmental agencies to create now over 66,000 felonies, all of which bar you from the natural right to self-defense for the balance of your life.
Hey, Mick, I got to tell you. See, I'm the Bible guy. At least I try to be the Bible guy. You reminded me of a proverb. It says, because of the transgression of the land, many are its princes. And that means, you know, essentially the more wicked we are, the more it's almost like the benefit of being wicked is we get more bureaucracies. It's been around since, you know, biblical times.
Man,
I think it's kind of a profound.
Anybody right. Listening in your audience, including judges and including federal prosecutors or federal defense attorneys, has any idea of the scope and magnitude of our federal government and its long reach into the states currently?
So it's not like you're anti-government. I mean, you and I think, as we've talked just even the minutes that we've had.
Ironically, what I was convicted of would not have been a chargeable offense in the state of Florida because it would have been considered entrapment by definition because I was induced to something that I was not predisposed to do. In fact, for the 25 years that I had worked in the business previously, I was predisposed to just the opposite, enforcing the law.
And you were set up to trip over something. You were basically put in the dark, told to walk, you know, pushed into a walking position, and tripped deliberately. And a lot of people don't realize you're not allowed to benefit from a wrong, and so the government ought not to be able to have the, you can't execute justice through injustice. It's impossible. So that's what they ended up, the United States government in that case, executed injustice. So tell us your story.
I let my federal firearms license expire and stopped selling firearms at my retail business because I was in the process of making a career change transition. Unfortunately, with an extensive inventory remaining in my former business's coffers of firearms, there's no real way to dispose of all of these properly other than to sell them either from your home or at gun shows, statewide or nationwide, as long as you work within the compliance of the states and the federal laws. As a private citizen selling your remaining inventory from your former business that you've logged out to yourself, all of which I'd done. I drew the wrath of the ATF because I spoke out against this gentleman who had victimized multiple other dealers and former dealers like myself. He stole from us. And he was a person representing himself to be a former Navy SEAL and a DOD investigator now. And longer story shorter, he went around and committed multiple counts of theft at these gun shows. We found out that he was a convicted child molester, felon, and not who he was representing himself to be in any form or fashion and shouldn't be in possession of firearms, and yet he had 25 on his tables for sale or trade. We attempted for months, actually almost a year, to get the ATF to intercede and arrest this man who wasn't supposed to be within 1,000 feet of children under the age of 16 and had a girlfriend who didn't know of his status with a 12-year-old daughter right there at his location at these gun shows every weekend. Once the NCIS, of all things, the Naval Criminal Investigative Service actually wound up arresting and convicting this man and handing him off to the ATF for additional convictions, it infuriated me so much that the ATF couldn't be bothered to do their job that, unfortunately, I spoke ill of them far more than once at these gun shows, and either this confidential informant or another one that they had in the gun shows taping them recorded my commentary on the whole scenario. And they proceeded to target me. That was in October of 2001 that I learned from another dealer that I was being investigated by them regarding every transaction and what we call transfers, every firearm that I had ever transferred to him. This enforcement agent had been in and wanted to check out every one of them for the previous 5 to 7 years. And this dealer, honorably, told me, Mick, they're looking at you hard. And I said, duly noted, you know me. I've never done anything wrong. I'm not about to start now. That was before this investigation began formally, April of the following year. Once they finally were able to make physical contact with me with their confidential informant. On out, confidential informant game-playing scenario where they were trying to gain my trust. And I had my suspicions about this gentleman from the first time he approached my tables the first time. They made reference in the trial over the fact that he approached me because I wasn't a licensed dealer any longer at this particular gun show. There were 150 to 180 tables at this particular gun show, and there was one other licensed dealer in the whole place.
How many out of all those tables were actually licensed dealers?
One.
And how many dealers were there? I mean, not dealers, but there's tables, but how many salespeople? In other words, how many people actually buying tables?
Probably in excess of 100.
Okay. So one of them was licensed dealer.
One out of the 100, yes.
Okay. So proceed.
And they tried to make a big deal about this at the trial, and you have to understand, just because it's titled a gun show, there may be people there selling swords, there may be people there selling books, there may be people there selling survival equipment, water purification tablets, all kinds of crazy things that tie back into camping, hunting, fishing, outdoor wear, mosquito netting, etc.
Right.
Just because I say there were 100 vendors there, there were probably 70 who were selling firearms.
Okay.
One of which was a licensed dealer remaining at the time. And this is not an unusual occurrence, whether in Florida or nationwide now. And in the states where they require either a state or federal background check now for individuals selling a firearm to another individual. You simply take it over to the licensed dealer. They do the background check for you, and the firearm gets transferred through them.
Okay.
That is completely in compliance with federal and state law in every state that I'm aware of.
Okay.
In the states where no background check is required, you simply, in the case of a long gun, need to see their identification. In the case of a handgun, you need to make certain that they are a resident of the state that you both hopefully live in.
Okay, I'm going to do a caveat here because I have a responsibility for radio. My guest is somebody, and I just let you know what you're talking to. I'm David Allen Carmichael, and I'm broadcasting the show on Frank Talk 104.3 FM for the Liberty Works Radio Network, and Mick is somebody who's had an experience that we need to hear about. And he's got a goal to make some changes in the federal law where if you trip over some wire, whether somebody gets you to do it without you paying attention or it just happens. I mean, there's things you do wrong. If they turn you into a felon for political or other reasons or whatever the reason might be, should you forever be stripped of your what would be protected in law as a natural or fundamental right? So what I've asked Mick to do is to tell us his story. Now, he just gave you some information about laws, and he is not, as I understand it, licensed to practice law, give law advice or education or whatever with regard to Florida, and neither am I. So what we do is we tell you what we've researched, and my admonition to you is listen to what is said, take note, and then go look it up, because you're the one who's got the responsibility to not listen to a bureaucrat, even if an IRS agent or BATF agent tells you something and it was incorrect, and you go to court saying, they told me it, guess what the court says? It says, well, you're responsible to know what the law is and not to exercise a folly of listening to a bureaucrat or anybody on the radio.